Here's a silly question, but I'll ask it anyway. Have you ever done anything bad? Something you regret? Said something to someone? Done something that you wish you hadn't and you know was wrong? Something you're ashamed of and you'd rather other people didn't know about? I think we're pretty much all on the same page here. So if you have, and we all have, what do we do with that? How do we deal with that? What happens if we don't deal with it? For almost a year now, David had lived with his guilty secret. The knowledge of what he had done, the terrible thing he knew he had done, burned through his peace of mind like prussic acid. He could hardly sleep. His dreams were the savage, confused, troubled dreams of a tortured spirit. That he, a man in a position of trust, should have done such a thing, betrayed his high office, betrayed everything he claimed to believe in, had capitulated so easily, shamelessly to his desire. He had committed adultery with Bathsheba, seduced by eager lust for a beautiful woman who happened to be another man's wife, a fellow officer's wife. It was indeed conduct unbecoming, shabby, wrong. And then, afraid of being found out, his wrongdoing exposed, he had committed the cruel, despicable murder of an innocent man. The full horror of it gnawed ferociously at his soul. So that when God's brave and honest prophet Nathan challenged him with the truth, well, it was almost a relief to bring to the surface the stinking putrefaction of his past actions. So that now it could all be faced. Something could be done about the guilt that was destroying him, the guilt that had lodged like a shard of ice for so long in David's heart. It was out in the open now. He faced who he was, admitted who he was, what he had done. And release from the chains of guilt became a possibility. Living with what the psychologists call unresolved guilt is destructive, relentless, and punishing. And David, in his songs and poems with disarming honesty, describes it with all the passion and anguish of a man who has had his spirit torn and ravaged on the rack of unresolved guilt. Make no mistake, the effect of guilt is corrosive. It destroys relationships, insinuating itself, intruding itself, worming its way into the spirit of genuine trust and honesty, wreaking havoc in the emotions. In his poems of faith, David vividly describes the emotional tension as his guilt works itself out in his inability to be at peace with himself, to like himself very much. The unresolved reality of what he has done puts him on his guard against other people who might discover the awful truth, and it is awful. And each day he finds new ways to disguise the truth, to cover up and sustain the pretense. The sheer effort of all this posturing and deceit is exhausting. He knows it's a lie. He knows he is a lie. He knows that buried deep beneath the veneer is a darkness that is terrible to behold, a shame too grim to speak. And it wears him down. It's relentless. He feels the strain. It exhausts him. In one of his poems, he writes this: "When I did not confess my sin, I was worn out from crying all day long. My strength was completely drained as moisture is dried up by the summer heat." And because people are that complex blend of mind, body, and spirit, because each part affects the others, there are often physical expressions of the stress, the guilt, the fear, the emotional strain finds physical manifestation. Just as our unstoppable tears are the symptoms of the sorrow we feel, when unresolved guilt haunts our soul, souring our whole experience, we look worried, we age too quickly, we grow tense. And the tension can lead to pounding headaches, listlessness, all the outward physical symptoms of what is essentially an inner problem. The past with its failures, regrets, and mistakes, still seems able to wound us, to cripple us emotionally, and to take its physical toll in the present, to steal from us the good possibilities of our future. And because there is a particular relationship that is fundamental to our sense of well-being, our serenity of spirit, namely our relationship with God, the power beyond us, the loving Father under whose gaze we live our life, our guilt gets in the way of that, gets in the way of that relationship working well or even working at all. And as men and women have done since time began, we run and hide in order to escape the probing searchlight of his truth. With guilt rotting away in our soul, we choose either the route of avoidance, staying clear of God and all things godly altogether, sometimes for years, shutting the door to prayer, stepping back from true fellowship for fear of exposure, disclosure, discovery. Or we opt for the way of hypocrisy, trying to keep our life in convenient little compartments, hoping that our guilt in one area will not somehow spill over and infect the rest of our experience. Either way, the effect on our peace of mind, the honesty of our relationships, is damaging and destructive. And the things that generate that kind of unsettling guilt needn't be gigantic, dreadful deeds or derelictions that litter our past, though such things may indeed rob us of peace of heart if they lie there. It may simply be that we feel deeply conscious of the fact that perhaps we haven't given God his rightful place in our thinking, our living, our timetable, that we have to some degree neglected the relationship that lies at the deepest part of us, given him second or third best, skipped over our true obligations to him and his will, turned a deaf ear to his call, so that mention of his name, the challenge of his summons, sends us scurrying away, resentful that we've been reminded at all that he calls us to worship and to serve him with wholehearted commitment. Large or small, whatever generates that dis-ease in us, the effect is consistent. It damages our spiritual connections. It puts a wall between ourselves and the people who matter to us. It encourages us to live a lie, and in the process plays havoc with our peace of mind. We truly have a heavy heart, knowing that there are unresolved issues. We're afraid of discovery and exposure, and we stop liking ourselves very much. All this is in tune with how David experienced the icy chill of unresolved guilt in his life. He knew all the elements in the torment, and he writes with disarming honesty and clarity about the horror of pretending to be what he knows he is not. David writes about confession in such a way that you can almost hear the sigh of relief, feel the burden being lifted from aching shoulders. He says, "Then I confessed my sins to you. I did not conceal my wrongdoings. I decided to confess them to you. And you forgave all my sins." Like opening a window to let the smell out and the fresh air in, confession changes everything. Confession is the beginning of healing, for with confession to God, against whom all sin is done, comes forgiveness, forgiveness guaranteed and free. It's easy to see how this works, why confession is the prerequisite of forgiveness, why confession is required before forgiveness can be enjoyed. Until need is acknowledged, until the problem is admitted, until the mistake is accepted, there can be no remedy, no improvement to the situation. We remain stuck in the delusion that all is well, we're doing fine, what's the problem? And all the time we know we are the problem. Our sin is the problem. And until we face that and acknowledge that, the forgiveness that God waits to pour into our hearts like soul-refreshing floods is blocked and stymied. More healing, forgiveness than we can imagine or ever need is there for us, but as long as we are stubborn in our resistance to it, it can never reach us where we hurt. We need to connect our lives to it. We need to know that we need it, and the act of confession is the starting point of that refreshment and that restoration. Stubborn denial of guilt leaves us locked in the past. It means we never know the sweetness of the cure because we're so busy protesting that there's nothing wrong with us, nothing troubling us, thank you very much. But when we take the offer, that healing forgiveness brings with it freedom from the need to hide. We can, because of the free love and grace of God, escape from the self-delusion, from the trap of our puny self-justifications and falsehoods, and the relationship is restored again between ourselves and our God. Because we know his love is ours to have and to delight in, we are no longer afraid of him. Because his truth has been brought to bear on our story, hard though that might be, we're sure to have been, we are nonetheless liberated from the hypocrisies, the deception, the fear of being found out, and that is a delicious freedom. The praise we offer is the expression of that liberation. How could we sing if our hearts were made of stone? How could we rejoice when we knew that although no one else could see it, round our neck was the albatross corpse of our guilt, mocking all our puny attempts at praise, threatening to expose their emptiness. But now, sin confessed, forgiveness received, our inadequacies acknowledged, our need embraced, we receive healing from the past, from the only one who can truly dispense that healing. And in the light of that amazing grace, we throw off the shackles, we leave the dingy dungeons of our anxieties, and we feel the sun of his welcome on our face. And people need to understand that, that when we sing, we Christians, we praise God and express in song, action and celebration our deliverance. This is who we are, Sunday by Sunday, day by day. Not folk who've come to demonstrate to the world our self-righteous sense of our own goodness. We are gathered here, fellow sinners, whose guilt has been removed, whose sin is forgiven, and who therefore rejoice in the one who by his love makes this peace of heart possible for us, brings us release from the chains of the past. No more burdens, no more dark rooms of the inner life where no one, not even God, is allowed to enter. No more concealments, disguises, and dishonesties. Hear it again, that glorious sigh of relief. Then I confessed my sin to you. And from that, David got mourning, got for mourning, dancing. From that confession, David got for mourning, dancing. Have you ever done anything bad? Something you regret, said something to someone, done something that you wish you hadn't and you know was wrong. What do we do with that? How do we deal with that? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.